Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
All right, guys, welcome back to this episode of This Dude Started Something. Today's episode is huge. If you have ever driven with the windows down, screaming your favorite song at the top of your lungs, there's a solid chance that these guys were on the playlist. With almost 500 million streams on Spotify, 650,000 monthly listeners, and at least a billion good vibes generated.
They are the soundtrack to summer, the kings and queen of feel-good anthems. And if the beach had a band, it would 100% be the Mowglis. Joining us today are Josh, Katie, Andy, and Matt.
What an intro.
Oh.
Wow.
Lobster.
Just kidding.
Dude, we got to redo it. Like, it wasn't good.
No, that was perfect.
We had the same math.
That was like a best intro, like literally pulled out the red carpet for us. I mean, I feel my ego is through the roof. Feel amazing. You called us kings and queen. Yeah. Epic. Epic intro, guys.
Cool, dude. Awesome. That's what it's for. Oh, I want to dive into, so I know we want to talk about new music and stuff, but I want to dive into a little bit about the history of the Mowglis and how you guys came together. Like, where did each band member come from and how did you guys form this band, legendary band?
Well, a lot of us grew up in the same hometown, which is right here in Southern California. We grew up in the west end of the San Fernando Valley and knew each other through theater, music, you know, just that whole kind of creative world from when we were younger. And then as we got older, you know, Andy went off to college. Everybody kind of did their own thing. But then we refound each other in our early 20s. And a few of our friends had started working with Josh, who had just moved to LA from Oklahoma. And really, it was just a local music scene in and around LA that really brought us together. So we started jamming and sharing original music with each other in a garage, like straight up garage band style. And, you know, naturally that became playing shows in and around LA. And because we, so many of us were local, we had a lot of other friends that made music. So we threw these kind of events, these manifestivals, we called them, and all of our friends' bands played. Andy was in a few different bands at the time. Josh was in a few different bands. I think Matt played in a few bands. Everybody just kind of like Dave was in a few different cool bands. Like, everybody just came together at these events and played. And the finale, the final act of the night, was this kind of culmination band that was the Mowglis. So it was really just this fun scene we created at home that eventually we took on the road. And, you know, that just began this snowball of writing and releasing music and touring it that kind of continued for, you know, a decade.
Katie and Josh, you two are still happily married, correct?
Miserable. Just kidding. No, we are. We're really happily married. We have a 2-year-old son who's napping right now, which is really convenient for everybody.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Does he have any parts in the band yet?
We are hoping he grows up to be like a horn player we could use.
Okay.
Honestly, that's kind of a role that, you know, he could fill. So fingers really crossed.
The drums so far.
So Andy.
Okay. Me too. I'm a drummer as well, actually.
Oh, well.
I'm hoping he's a lawyer for us.
Yeah, honestly, it might be the best move for everyone.
Yeah, we'll some see. Management stuff. That's funny. Okay, so you guys started out doing these band get-togethers. That's in an actual garage. I feel like that's so, like, I don't know. I feel like you don't see that.
It was in, like, the valley in Southern California. Yeah, in Woodland Hills. I actually drove by that house the other day. And yeah, we would just, like Katie said, we would put together these festivals. We acted as our own record label, basically. Like, there was no one else doing it for us. So we had all these friends together. Some of them are still here on this call together. Like, we were just doing shows because we wanted to do shows and put music out and hope anyone would find us.
And these shows would be in coffee shops, basements, people's houses, restaurants, like
anywhere.
They were kind of everywhere and anywhere, because we were like, there was this diner in the valley that like let us play there for some reason. Yeah. There's all these kind of weird events.
So how did your guys' music kind of like, how did it change? Because if you're playing in like a coffee shop, I feel like it's, you got to be a little bit more quiet, like coffee house type vibes. Did you guys?
It was loud still. They just let us do it. Shout out to Henry's. It was just, they let us take over at night and make noise. And it just was fine. It wasn't like we didn't have to turn down. We just did our thing.
Yeah, I think now as these kind of more evolved, mature musicians, I want to say, who have been doing it for a longer time, now we would probably be more conscious of adjusting our set for the surroundings. We're like, oh, we're playing a coffee shop, let's tune it down, let's do an acoustic jam and a hand drum. But like at the time, we just were like, we're doing our thing, let's go. And our thing was big and loud and rambunctious. And I mean, there were times there would be like a dozen people on the stage and it was like, oh, you play the didgeridoo, get up here, we're adding didgeridoo to the set. Like, it was just chaos.
That's crazy. They need a coffee shop that's like a club at the same time.
Like a 90s television coffee shop that never really existed. But like when you see them on those TV shows, you're like, that is a cool place.
Yeah.
People are having lattes like out of mugs instead of, you know, a to-go cup.
Yeah.
So did you guys ever like envision, whenever you were doing those smaller shows, that you guys would end up with almost 500 million streams?
Yeah.
Straight up, yes.
You know, I was like, let's go. Let's take over the world. Let's go. Yes. Like, I don't think everybody seemed to have a lot of momentum and enthusiasm. And we were young. And like, my recollection is that like, there was no fear of failure. We were like, let's just go. We just want to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just bought a van and just went. We decided like, we live in California. Let's play in California as much as we can. We did a lot of like Friday nights, go up to San Francisco, play the Bay Area, and come back, and everyone would go back to work throughout the week kind of stuff. And then like when the band moved all the way to Venice, which is a whole other chapter of this band, Venice kind of got taken over by the Mowglis, and like we joined into this whole other scene of music. And that let us like get new fans, like opened us to the Burning Man community, which is wild to say. And it all expanded from there. We just, like Katie said, we had no fear. We were just young and like, let's just do this and see if it works, because we need to.
So going up to San Francisco like every weekend, is that kind of what inspired you guys' most popular song? Like, where did that inspiration come from for San Francisco?
I actually think San Francisco inspired us to go play San Francisco. For a while, San Francisco was like the first song that was written that was brought to the Mowglis. And it was for a while like the core of our material. So we had San Francisco and we had a few other songs. And I think we had a few covers in the mix, you know, as the set started to get built. But there were shows where we opened with San Francisco and then we closed with San Francisco because like we only had a few songs and we had to fill half an hour. And it was always a party. Even when we played the song a second time in the set, people still jammed in the audience and had a great time. And so we just kind of knew like, okay, there's something there. We can play the song twice and people still dance. That's a good sign. And I think that the song, which really grew and developed live in LA, because that's where we were playing so much, inspired us to start bringing our show up north.
Okay.
Yeah, and we found a cool community up there. So it was similar to the Venice community. And it was just easy to like slide into it, you know, and become a part of something up there.
We were just like loved the Haight-Ashbury feel and we loved the energy of San Francisco. And so we were like, we've got an anthem for you. Like, let's let us play it.
Oh,
and
perfect,
we booked shows, you know, as much as we could. And we played with other San Fran artists that were up there. But we also like just played Haight-Ashbury sometimes. We would just like acoustic guitar
on the corner
and stand on the corner and play that song. And you know, the people who live in San Francisco love San Francisco, so I think they responded really well to it.
That's smart. Talked about like not having many songs, right? So you're playing like the same things maybe like multiple times. Are you guys strong believers in like quality over quantity then? Because you guys don't really have a monstrous amount of songs. Like, if you guys could like tell current or up and coming artists about whether they should go for a quality or a quantity, which would you say?
I mean,
it's a good question.
I think quality for sure, but I think also like, you know, if you believe in a song and you want to put it out, you should just put it out, you know?
Yeah, I personally would say a little bit of both. Like, work your butt off, you know, like
hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Get that quantity and then you can like pick the quality out of that.
Yeah, what an amazing position to be like, we have, you know, 30 to 40 songs we really love, but we can only put this many in the set. So like you know, really having to struggle to pick what you want on the album or on the set list is like a really good problem to have. And I think that's something we always strive for. Like, we really do have a lot of songs in the pile, as we call it, which are songs that we kind of put in a file or a drive for everybody to check out that could become Mowgli songs. And there's definitely way more in the pile than we're able to put out into the world. So we just kind of have to see what songs speak to us at the time when we're ready to put music out. It's like, what songs in the pile have been speaking to everybody? And that's kind of how we've done it. So we do have a lot of music, but I think we kind of scan through and do try to seek out the quality songs that really share.
Yeah, just something that makes you feel that thing, you know.
I also think I think there was a time with us too as a band, like the band wanted to make albums and not just release singles. Mm-hmm. So there was always, it wasn't like concept records or anything, but it was like, we had like 15 songs or whatever, and these were the best 12. Like, these should all go out, and let's go tour an album for 18 months and work completely as hard as we can and build a fan base in every city. And that's just kind of like where we were when we signed a record deal in 2012. But now that the industry has changed so much, like Katie says, like, put a song out. Like, if you had a song and you want to put it out, just do it at this point. There's a million places to put it, and you don't mm-hmm. know who's like following your social media now. Like, biggest person ever could be following you or want to put that song into a movie or something.
Yeah. And I guess we always kind of have this conversation where we wonder, because we always are like, it would be so great to put a record out, and or we have this many songs, this many ready to go. But there's always this fear that if you put 12 songs out at once, your favorite one's not going to be heard. So it's kind of, we try to find, I guess, smaller packages now. A couple of songs that we want to put out and push and really share mm-hmm. and make sure that our audience is able to find those songs and not just kind of pick their favorite two that are getting pushed off of this larger collection and have so many kind of fall by the wayside.
And Matt, kind of going back to the movie thing just real quick, I actually discovered you guys from Blended. I absolutely love that song, and just hearing it like at the end of the movie, like, it's a great movie, and the song is a great way to like close it out. And I'm pretty sure I Shazammed it like one time, and I was like, "I was there." These guys are crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you and it lives on forever. Still, like, you see Blended on randomly. You're in a hotel room in the middle of Ohio, and it's on TBS, and you're like, "I remember that. That's amazing, right?" Like, it's crazy. Like, it's fun when stuff like that happens.
Drew Barrymore and Adam Sandler, they definitely make those I could watch this movie 1,000 times type movies. So being a part of one of those movies is just so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you guys make the music that we listen to 1,000 times, and it goes hand in hand.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate that. Keep those streams coming.
Oh yeah. So you guys were doing garage concerts and coffee shop concerts. At what point did you guys stumble across the opportunity to like actually get behind a mic and record in a studio? And how was that different? Like, was it hard to adjust to that?
It wasn't a studio so much as it was a studio apartment.
She's not lying. Yes.
Studio.
Yeah.
Apartment.
Well, we had friends that worked in a studio in Calabasas.
That's true.
We were able to use a little bit. You know, we would squeeze in a couple hours here and there to do vocals and to do like live drums.
And that felt like a really big deal, because like it we never really got into really nice studios.
What's that band? Like Rob Thomas's band?
Yeah.
Like, they've been Matchbox 20. They like
recorded there. And yeah, it was like a major deal, because we had been recording in a studio apartment in Hollywood in the Madison behind Hollywood and Highland. Shout out. And it was a really wild, weird, intense experience where we were recording like in a closet between like the studio room and the bathroom, and, you know, like using like hanged shirts to like deaden the sound. And
you can make music anywhere.
And it was
a lot of good stuff happens in the closet, man.
And I'm in the closet when right now. Our friend was like, well, you could come in here and track some things. And we got access to this like nice studio. It was really cool, and it felt like, oh my gosh, maybe we're making it. Like, maybe we're going to be the next big thing. We're in this nice room where Cher's been.
Yeah,
you know.
And we were able to do like a full-length album just independently with our friend at the time, Christian, and we were able to use like a church auditorium at one point to do group vocals and
great reverb.
A lot of cool opportunities came from just being such a big group of people, and everybody had like something going on, you know. Everybody could offer something different, and that was cool. That was one thing I noticed, you know, right away about the band, is our reach was very like wide in Los Angeles. That was cool.
Yeah. How do you guys like form your sound? Like, you guys have a really unique, almost choir type sound. How do you even do that?
Well, there was definitely always, you know, I think our sound has, you know, if you listen to the whole catalog, there's definitely changes and evolution and regression and progression. Mm-hmm. And there's like a lot, but there is always this kind of core thing. And we just always had this intention from the get-go to create music that encouraged everybody to sing along. And we always envisioned having these live performances where instead of having a singer, everybody was the singer. So we have always tried to, if as long as the song calls for it, which every once in a while there's a song that doesn't, but for the most part, as long as the song calls for it, we try to incorporate these gang vocals, which are always really fun days where we invite our friends and our family and our fellow musicians and other musicians we've been playing shows with to the studio or to the house or the garage or wherever we're recording. And we just all sing parts of the songs together. Like we really do create a choir out of our community and we inject that into all of our music. So ideally, there is this feeling that you're singing along with, you know, the whole world or that whole room of people or whoever it is, that we're all singing together instead of just one person singing alone. And sometimes in our music, there's a vocal singer who's like carrying the message of the song. But ideally, every song gets to a point where everybody is singing together, because there's something so powerful and beautiful in that. In like every culture and in every religion, there's something about, you know, voices coming together, and we really wanted that in our sound.
That's so cool. What do you think the most people you had in like the studio one time was?
Ooh.
So, I don't know. The church had a lot of people.
The church.
Yeah, there was like 25 people at the church.
On our very first record, we played at a church for group vocals because this room had this amazing reverb. And we kind of set like mics in the middle of the room and we stood on this stage. And there were probably like 30 people there because everybody brought at least one or two friends.
We only needed one take. There was that many people, you know.
And
we used several takes, but like
we got there were a lot of people. And we got stomps and we got, you know, the haze and the hose. And anytime you hear like a big group singing on that first album, it's this huge room of our friends in this church somewhere in the valley that somebody we knew worked sound at who let us record there.
That's crazy, dude. It's like a natural reverb. Because do you guys still add like a little bit of like reverb onto your production afterwards? I'm sure there's a bunch of editing. Or like, do you guys have a producer?
It's kind of different every time, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, like now, like the new one we just did, we had maybe like 10 people come over into a living room and we just kept stacking the vocals. So all of a sudden those 10 vocals become 20 vocals. Those 20 become 40. Oh, yeah. Those 40 become 80. Throw some reverb on it and it sounds like the world is singing.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And we always try to stay open-minded to what people, you know, new people can bring to this project. So when you say like, do we have a producer? We've worked with some really amazing producers that we love and we continue to work with on certain songs. But there's also some really awesome writers and collaborators that we've met and just are like, let's do a song with them. Like it would be really fun to do a song with this person. So we aren't necessarily, you know, strict with working with one producer. We have a really great community in LA of amazing producers and we feel lucky to work with all to bring any of them a song really.
Yeah.
I have a question that I'm sure your fans are wondering and I'm wondering. Do you guys listen to your own music? Like say like you're in the car, I don't know, you're going to the gym. Do you listen to your own music? Because like some actors say like it's weird to watch movies where like they're in. So is that the same kind of for you guys? Like, is it weird listening to your own songs? Do they get old? What's that like?
I want to hear what you guys say.
I think it's weird, but like, I remember one time me and Josh were driving back from Warped Tour and we were like, we should listen to our like catalog. We haven't done that like ever. Because usually when it's done, like you're so deep in it, you're listening.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
To like mm-hmm. the revisions and like then it's Praying put out it into the night. World and then you kind of let it go out into the world after that and you're kind of done with it. But then like I was saying like, damn, 5 years have passed. We had like three albums out, like let's listen to them. And so I remember like we were like had this like 2 hour drive back. We just listened back to back to back and we're like, damn, it's pretty like tight.
Yeah,
we're good. We're a good band.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I listened to, I found an old folder of like demos and first versions of stuff the other day. So I was listening to that. But yeah, I mean, like every now and then it comes on and like then there's the times that like I feel really grateful where like I'm just walking through a Whole Foods and it's on mm-hmm. and you're just like, oh, that's wild that that's still happening. Okay. And people
it's always Whole
hear
Foods.
That. It's almost yeah. always Whole Foods, but you know.
Or Kohl's. Love when Whole my Foods. Mom's in Kohl's, dude.
Yeah, everybody's mom yeah. hears us in Kohl's.
We'd be on tour a lot and it's like we'd like we were living in like a bus or like an RV at the time, so we parked in a lot of like shopping malls. It was always in like a shopping mall in Indiana. We'd like hear our music come on and it's like, oh hey, that's Say It by Us. Cool.
Yeah, yeah,
that's crazy.
I think that when we toured our music for so long and like Andy said, you know, you record a body of work and then you put it out in the world and then we'd go tour that body of work. And then we would come home, record some new songs, learn them, go out and tour them. And so there was never really a space in my life to like sit back and listen to our music because I was always, we were always either working on it or playing it live. So mm-hmm. it was like I never needed to. But when we took a break in 2020, you know, and now it's 2025. Sometime over the last few years, I think I did kind of go like, wow, I'm going to sit back. I think before we played our show last February, kind of sat back and like revisited the body of work and listened. And I think we were listening for what we would want to put in our set list, but it was really nice to just like revisit the catalog. And and it was like a trip down memory lane.
It's funny to listen and discover parts that like I wasn't playing or something, you know. I'm like, oh, that's how that goes. Oh, whoops.
And also I totally understand the like actor or musician like never wanting to revisit or watch their own work. Like I totally get that because you're like, I did it and it's out there and I can't change it, so I don't want to focus on it. However, mm-hmm. with like the live stuff, it's always really benefited us to kind of watch a couple of performances and see like, okay, I could have done this better, or you know, sometimes for the sake of gameplay, it's to run the tape back.
Yeah, and I feel like songs are always like when you're creating a song, I feel like it's always kind of evolving. Like there's just a certain time you feel like you just have to kind of put it out, and then it's like, once it's released, like you said, it's out there. So it's like, you can't do anything about it. But if you listen to it, you're probably going to find something that you wish you would have maybe done different. Or like you've been, oh, we could have added this.
Yeah, or, you know, definitely. When I always found that we would, you know, sometimes it's like we would be home. And so it'd be like, okay, you're home. So it's time to write and record. So we'd be writing and recording and we would finish a song and then we would learn it and play it live. And then we would tour it. And after 3 months of touring it, you're like, dang, dude, I really found a really sick harmony. I wish I had it on the record. Or I do this really cool guitar part now that I didn't have when we recorded it. And now I do it every night live and it's so cool. I wish it was on the record. But that's kind of the beauty in a live performance. You know, you get to hear songs. You get to hear that evolution you're talking about because, you know, you're right. You could work on a recording forever. You could always beat that take. I feel like that's a prison you could end up in and a cycle you could just like really stay in for a while. But for us, the workflow has always allowed us to let that evolution happen live.
Katie and Josh, were you guys dating before you guys started the band?
No, we were
so
not.
So did that make things weird? Oh,
No,
let me answer this one.
yeah, let's
Andy's uncomfortable.
Let's have Andy's perspective
dying
on
to
this
hear
one.
Your take on it.
No, it's just funny because I remember like when I saw it kind of unfolding and the people had opinions about it, but we said like these guys are either going to ruin the band or they're going to get married and have a kid.
Yeah.
And they got married and had a kid.
You get the trumpet player, dude.
Yeah, our future trumpet player lawyer. but it worked out, and there it was very clear early in the relationship that they were pretty solid. So it was it never felt weird, my opinion.
We had fives. Thank
yeah, because that sounds risky. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? It could, you know, destroy the band.
But, you know, the way we kind of saw it, too, is it's like, okay, well, we clearly have really strong feelings for each other. So, like, we either act on it, which is what we both want to do, or we don't. And then, like, what happens? I feel like that was more likely to ruin the band, because it's like, okay, I'm pretending not to have feelings for you, and now you're talking to somebody else at the bar, and I'm feeling all these things, and right. I can't do anything about it, so it's going to manifest into some other weird thing. It's like the more the water was flowing with, like, let's just go with what feels right, and like we kind of always told each other, and obviously when feelings get involved, you never know, it's risky business, but we kind of both always said, like, the band is our priority. And I was like, I feel comfortable committing to working with you even if this doesn't work out. And he said the same, and I really believed that. Like, I don't know, for better or for worse, at that time I was like, I believe this. Even if this totally goes to shit, I could still work with this person. Maybe if you broke my heart, I wouldn't have wanted to work with you anymore. I don't know.
So yeah, it's and Katie's just writing sappy songs, and the band's like,
right.
Yeah, the vibe changes.
Yeah, it was just bigger. I don't know. It was just felt bigger than the Mowgli's was, like, bigger. And we were like, cool. Like, we both wanted the band to work. We both really wanted that, and we both kind of were like, whatever we have to do to make sure that this works, let's do it. Because, like, we didn't even want our feelings for each other to ruin the band. We just really wanted to put the band first.
I mean, I viewed it as, like, you two as songwriters in the band at the time, like, it made your storytelling better. So, like, the lyrics got better as you guys progressively fell further into love with each other on the road. And so the songs got better that you guys were writing too. You
Thanks.
Know, like, this, it, Thanks, that's dude. Just where it was. You know?
It's also so just it's very,
I mean, it was weird for me. It was weird for me growing up with you and then meeting Josh separately. And right. then I'm like, now I'm in a band and these guys are together. What's happening?
How'd that happen?
But, yeah. How'd that, like, okay, let's keep going in the van. Like, whatever, it's fine. But yeah, it was, the art came first for them, and I saw it, and I'm pretty sure everyone else saw it, and it's just like, yeah, it just got better.
And the Mowgli's, like, message is always, like, has been, like, stay true to your heart and follow love, and so it felt almost intuitive to, like, listen to that, and to be playing these songs about love every night with, like, somebody you were falling in love with, it just felt like, cool, let's keep going with the flowing water.
Yeah. Matthew and Andy, did you ever think about buying, like, a separate van just to keep it, like?
Yeah, probably.
I do look like someone that should own a van.
Yeah.
It definitely, like, started taking off at around a time when the band was, like, fully popping off. Like, I remember, I think we played, like, Jay Leno for the first time, or The Tonight Show. You guys might be too young to know who Jay Leno is.
I know.
But, okay, cool. But, like, it was like things were popping off, and it was like they were starting to fall for each other. It was this very transformative time for the entire band, where it really could have gone in a different direction, because we were already doing it for 5 years before then, and, you know, it was, they weren't dating then, and so it was, like, a very interesting time for everything. But, like we said, it worked out, and
it was,
you know,
weirdly surprising to both of us too. I think we were both whoa,
like you said,
love be like that.
That was a time where we really, like, started going, like, really hard, and we started touring, and the touring didn't really stop for, like, a couple of years. I mean, it would stop for a few days at a time, or for like a week for Christmas or something. And, you know, it was pretty wild, but it was also super fun. And I think everybody was just super dedicated to the band and making it. It was all of our dream, you know?
Yeah.
And we were there. So we were just like, whatever it takes, we're on the train, let's go. And, you know,
I think we were all very aware that, like, okay, like, this, like Andy said, like, the train's moving, things are happening, and we could all feel it. And it was like, it really is this invisible feeling of momentum where it's just like, you've got to go. Like, you've got to go with the momentum. Like, this train's leaving and it might not come back to this station. So go. And, you know, it's really a force. It's really this invisible force that you just feel. And you're like, you just got to go with it. And the whole band felt like that. Our whole team, you know, our management, our booking agents, everybody was just.
What are the odds that, like, that many people would be on board with something?
Right. That's true. Yeah.
It was something special for sure.
Yeah. Did you guys, do you think like your fans like kept up with your personal lives in a way? Like, do you think like, or do you think it was just the band?
Not as much as you think. Like, I think people are in tune with like the relationships, and we've obviously had some like lineup changes. And so there was always people like, oh, where'd that person go? Or what happened there? Like, you know, people there, but it seemed to always honestly be like maybe 1% of people. Then we'd like go to a city and it just like, people viewed the Mowglis as this like collective whole. It wasn't like, oh, this story here and that story there. It's just like, there's this group and I like them.
The music,
I always thought about that too. Like, bands I love, I'm like, I don't really know like everyone's name in the band or like their
or
personal
what their
shit.
Drama is.
Like Bonji.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Oh yeah, I feel like I feel like that's how they are for me. Like, I feel like they're always changing too. You know what I mean?
I think that the music and the message and the spirit of the band, which is really embedded in the music, is always going to be bigger than, you know, the semantics and the inner workings of the group itself. Like, there are times that we got into a blowout fight backstage about somebody ate my shit in the fridge or whatever. And then it was like, okay, we have to like get over it because we have something bigger to do right now. And that's to carry this message and this music to that room full of people out there. So, you know, I think that that has always been the priority, and just understanding that like our personal lives isn't what speaks to people. It's the music that speaks to people. So, you know, like Andy said, it's like Muse is one of the biggest bands in the world. And to be honest, I could be standing next to like Matt Bellamy at a coffee shop and I wouldn't even know. I genuinely wouldn't. And they're like massive. But, you know, it's their music that I know. It's the message of their music and the spirit of their music, not the players themselves. Even though I respect everybody who makes it, that's just not what calls me to them. So I feel like it's the same for us. What's happening interpersonally is kind of irrelevant as long as the spirit of the band maintains its dignity.
True. Are there any, speaking of like other bands and stuff, were there any other bands that you guys were inspired by, like maybe while getting started, that you took some sounds from and inspiration from?
Group Love.
It was the era of Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros.
The big group bands.
A lot of stomping and hollering and suspenders and
stomp holler era.
But we were kind of deep in it. It was cool. It was like those bands were popping off and we were like, oh, this is inspiring. Like, we're making shit that sounds like it. And like all of a sudden we're like playing festivals with them and then kind of like thrust in with these heroes of ours that we were looking up to that were kind of like defining this mid 2010s genre that was kind of taking off at the time.
Yeah, I think that there was this common thing we were all tapped into in this scene where like we all grew up on emo music, which I know is now making you young kids now,
it's like classic,
know about emo. It's classic rock to you or something, but to us it was like new and fresh and really cool. And it was just like we listened to a lot of sad music. Like, our generation grew up with like sad music and grunge music and like just this different vibe. And when it came, when we were at the point where it was like, we're going to make music, we want to make the appeal of happy music and of bright music and inspiring lyrics and of community in the sound, like that was really felt fresh, you know, at that time. And I think that's why there was this moment with Group Love and with Edward Sharpe and with the Lumineers and with the Mowglis, where there were these groups of people coming together to make this optimistic, kind of inspiring, brighter music about love instead of about having your fucking heart ripped out of your chest, you know?
Yeah,
and I kind of view it of like, we all had so many different styles and influences growing up as well. Like, you take one look at me and it's like, I'm not in the Mowglis, but it's because I love death metal and hard rock and stuff like that. And I think when we fused all the songwriting together and all the stuff that we love, it had to turn into something positive, because anything that we all share this love of like punk rock music too. And sometimes there's a negative connotation about it as well, but we found the positive side to it too. We channel that. It turns into something like the Mowglis at a certain point. You know, all these things of us listening to country records that are telling stories that might be sad or whatever about certain love. It's like, how do you make that happier and still tell that story at the same time? And all those influences became kind of us.
So how do you guys feel about like band culture as a whole now kind of like decreasing, you know? We're seeing a lot less bands.
I'm just kidding.
Like, there's so many solo artists now. Everyone's kind of doing their own thing. No one's really, like, what are the benefits of a band that you guys, like, see?
Well, a solo artist is going to have to hire a band eventually. So I would just say start a band so you don't have to, like, pay for random people, like, $100 a show or whatever it would be.
I would say that, like, there's this saying I've been hearing recently. I'm probably going to butcher it a little bit, but the gist of it is, alone, I have this many possibilities, but together, the possibilities are infinite. And I think that's what happens when you collaborate with people in a creative space. Is like, there's only so much I can come up with by myself. You know, I can spend all day long thinking, but my mind is only going to come up with XYZ. When Andy walks in the room and he thinks of something that like, whoa, my brain never even, that word wasn't even on my mind, but that just unlocked the chorus. Or, you know, Matt comes in and he's like, this key instead, or whatever the thing is, I didn't think of it. It wasn't coming by myself. You know, Josh writes alone all day long, every day. When he brings that idea to a producer or to a bandmate or to somebody else, not all day, but he does write a lot. But when he brings that seed to somebody else, that's when the magic happens. And it's just all about, you know, the reason you collaborate is for that. You don't collaborate because you have all the answers by yourself. You collaborate because you want to see what happens when you put your, you know, your magic together. And, you know, there's some really great solo artists out there, and it's really cool to see what their minds do. But it's also really cool to see what people do when they come together, because the possibilities are literally limitless.
I think to piggyback on that, it's like you're saying, like, it seems like band culture has gone down. I think with like COVID and everything, like a lot changed. Like it was just, it's expensive for bands to get out there and tour. People are all of a sudden going on TikTok and just doing it themselves, playing a song that they shared. All of a sudden this guy blows up. That's like what the record labels were looking at. Like, do you have a TikTok? Do you have this following? And so, and it's expensive to tour, especially post COVID, where it was just like the whole industry was butchered. But I think that the last like year has been inspiring. It definitely feels like it's making a comeback somewhat. It's still a bit of a hellish landscape, but bands are emerging and doing it. And, you know, we're happy to like kind of be coming back after taking a little hiatus, which was definitely like COVID was part of that for sure. And I think we're going to see a big uptick in like bands kind of making a comeback, because it's just the pendulum swings the other way always.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The organicness, the authenticity and like the rawness of a live show, you know, the AI can never replace the feeling of people coming together. We come together, we go to shows to experience music, and that experience of all of us being in that room, singing those songs together, sweating it out, dancing, whatever that happens, whatever happens when we're there together, I think that's really the thing. That's the magic of live music. And that's something that, like, it just can't be replaced. And I just hope and believe that people will continue to crave that, because it's so good for our souls to come together for something like that.
Yeah, that's so true. And so I feel like we've covered the history of the Mowglis pretty good now for our listeners. Could we go into the current state? Where are you guys at right now? Are you guys still making music? Because, right, your last song was 2020, I believe. I'm sure the fans are wondering what's next or what's even happening right now.
We're amped.
We're amped. We've been working on a lot of new music.
Let's go.
I think,
dude.
Andy and I, we maybe early last year at some point, we started doing sessions together again. And, you know, each session is with like a different producer or another writer. And Katie and I moved into this house where we have like a studio garage now, and we've been doing a lot of sessions here at home, which is helpful when you have a toddler. And, you know, so we did the thing where you write like 50 songs and you have too many songs to choose from. And so we have so far produced 3 of them, and, we're going to start our release rollout at the end of April. And I think every like 6 weeks, we're going to just release one song at a time. And in the meantime, we're going to keep working in the studio, hopefully with like multiple different producers this time. You know, I think we're not necessarily, like you were saying, we're not like necessarily married to like a certain single producer anymore. We're open to, like, you know, before we always wanted to have like, you know, continuity in this like package, and every song was produced by the same guy or person. And now it's like, I'm down, whatever.
Yeah.
We can have a few different songs produced by this producer and a few by this producer. And that's like, I don't know, that's like a new thing that I'd like to explore a little.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of new songs and we're just continuing to write. We just had a session yesterday. We wrote a song about Julian, our son. And,
oh, yeah.
And they're just like coming, you know, this like we're, I feel like we're back on this really good rhythm of writing. We've like worked the muscle, and we wrote a lot of songs, and some of them are like never going to see the light of day, but some of them are really cool. And then a lot of them, or a handful of them.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Are like definitely Mowgli songs, and I'm just like really excited, you know? So it's cool. It's a good feeling to have too many songs to choose from.
I think We basically, you know, you heard the inception of the band in 2009 or something? It was like so long.
End of 2009, yeah.
End of 2009 to 2012, we're like grinding around LA while we're all doing our regular day jobs. Like we're working jobs for money, and then we're playing shows at night or going to band practice, recording on weekends, like going so hard. We were 23, had all the energy in the world. And then we started touring in 2012, and we toured pretty much consistently until March of 2020, when it was like COVID is shutting everything down, period. And then from March of 2020 until like July of 2020, we did 7 Zooms a day, like just performing on Zoom. And we just experienced such major burnout, I think, collectively. And so to have taken time and space from the Mowglis and from touring, and to have all come back together again now because we are excited about these songs and because we feel compelled to come back to this space together and to this message and to this music feels so like beautiful and authentic. And that I think is so important because for so long we were going because it's just what we did. We didn't really know anything else. We just did that and we never stopped. We never stopped. We just kept going. So to have taken this time, started a family, everybody kind of put their fingers in different creative projects and explored their lives and their own families and their own creative selves, to have come back to the Mowglis now, it just feels so good. And the songs are so exciting. And I think they make us all feel like, yeah, this is what we're doing here. Like, this is what we're coming back to, is this message and this sound and this feeling. And I can't wait to take that thing I'm talking about back to our fans and to a venue, back into the live setting. Cause really that's always been to me where the power of this project really mm-hmm. comes to its full fruition.
Oh yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
That is great news. That is awesome. Great. Yeah.
Well, we can't wait for you to hear the songs.
Long answer.
Yeah, I talk a lot.
Oh, no, that's a good answer. No, that's awesome. So for those, for the listeners out there, so there's a listener out there that wants to write a song. How do you write a song?
How do you ask? Because we are songwriters. I mean, look, I think that there's like, first of all, what do you want to write a song about? You know what I mean? Like, why are you writing a song? I think that's a really good thing to ask yourself. Like, are you doing it for fun? Are you doing it because you have a message you want to get out there? Are you doing it because you want to learn just how to write a song? That's always a good place to start. And yeah. Then honestly, just start.
If you think about it, like, what are the elements of a song? It's like there's melody with words over chords, and then you know, you have like a verse and a chorus at least, and if you can do that then you literally have the song and you just repeat the chorus after verse two.
Yeah. And
there, you know, that's a start.
And also just like, there's no shame in imitating your heroes. If you're like, man, I fucking love Blink-182 songs, I want to write a Blink-182 song, I just want to like mess around and see if I can write a Blink-182 song. You don't have to like worry about finding your sound or your thing. Like, just do it. Just do it for fun. And you can always imitate somebody you really love. And through that, maybe you'll find your own sound, or you could just write a, you know, when I was struggling with my confidence in writing, we did a thing where we started a 1 minute punk song project where we were like, cool, let's just write 1 minute songs. And that was the goal. And there was no pressure. Nobody ever had to hear the songs. We just went into the studio and we're like, 1 minute song, let's go. So if you are a songwriter and it's something you want to do, like, just start. You know, nobody started writing or painting and immediately made an amazing piece of art. They made like a bunch of shitty songs and then they made a good song. They made a bunch of shitty pieces of art and then they made a good painting. So, you know, you just have to start somewhere and don't be afraid of making shitty art. Don't be scared of it. Just do it.
Sometimes it's the best art.
Yeah. And you can't make good art without making shitty art first. Like, it's just not possible. Mm-hmm. No artist ever just came out the womb amazing. Like, not even Picasso. Like, Picasso probably earned every shitty piece of art that he had, you know, because like, but they existed. They happened.
Hundreds of them.
Because that's how you learn. And so I think that if you want to be a songwriter, you're going to write some stuff, and your taste, the taste level that made you want to be a songwriter, your stuff's not going to be up there. And that's okay. One day it will be. You just have to keep pushing through. And if you can write a song, even if it's a shitty song, give yourself a pat on the back. Cause like, you did it, you wrote a song. And then the next one is going to be that much better. And you just keep going.
Yeah. I like this one. Speaking of Picasso, I'll make this brief, but it's like, there's a story about him where he's like sitting in a bar and someone goes up to him. They're like, oh, like, dude, you're Picasso. Like, make me a painting. And he just like scribbles something on a piece of paper and like hands it to the dude. And he's like, $500. He's like, $500? It took you like 5 seconds to make that. But he's like, yeah, but it took a lifetime for me to get to this moment. And it's, I think that that's cool. It's like, you gotta like just earn your stripes and like practice and like, it's not always gonna be a masterpiece, but just work out that muscle and like, just make stuff and just go for it, you know?
Yeah, pursuing your dreams feels, we were just saying yesterday, like it feels cringe, right? Because it takes a lot of bravery. It takes a lot of bravery. And the reason it feels cringe is because most people don't have the courage to do it, you know? Yeah. So to even have the courage to write that song and to put yourself out there, it's something to be proud of yourself for. And it's something that if it fills your cup, you really must continue to pursue it. Like if it fills your cup, you just have to keep doing it and you have to push through the uncomfortable moments because the reward on the other side is definitely worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dang. I didn't know Picasso was like that either, dude. That's a crazy, crazy story. That's cool. Have you guys ever done any like, I'm sure you have, but do you guys still do any like covers? You ever try to like cover Travis Scott or something or anything crazy like sick?
We've definitely done covers, and we do like, you know, we've played covers. They could always like slap at a show, like especially if you're playing like the Rock Boat or something. It's like everybody loves a cover. It's always been tough for us because everybody, no, it's hard to agree on what cover to do. And at the end of the day, our priority has always been original music. You know, we've always been really proud of the fact that we write our own music and we write original songs. And and that's just something we've always been proud of. You know, even when we were just starting out, it was like, okay, we've got two covers in the set. We've got to replace them with originals. And we got to this place where we never had to play covers in our set. And our whole set, we got 60 minutes of original music. We got 90 minutes of original music. I mean, it feels so good to know that you can fill a set list with songs that your team created out of thin air. And we always talk about covering songs, and we've done it for random projects that have come up or to fill a set list or because we got hired to play an event or because the song was going to go well at a college. We've definitely done it and are open to it. But I just think at the end of the day, when it comes to getting together and putting all of our collective energy into something, we generally opt for an original song.
Yeah, that makes sense. And going back in,
we've had a cover in almost every tour we've gone on. There's always been like one, and like we've done like SZA before, we've done Drake, really? We've done Jimmy Eat World, we've done Arcade Fire. Like we've almost broke up over trying to figure out covers because I remember everyone was always like, let's get one in there. People want to hear that. Just a cover of the Jungle Book. That was like the OG Mowgli's cover back
OG
in the day.
Cover, yeah.
We fuck with covers, but there's so many original songs. It's like, yeah, we'll like give one moment over to one, but sometimes it'd even just be like a little bit of a song, not a full song.
Yeah, a bit of a medley. Like go into it at the end of a song that kind of is in the same key, and then you're like, oh, you're in this song now, and then we're like, yeah, but it's over.
Yeah,
that little Bruno Mars trick. Yep.
And a song with like Four Non Blondes chorus or. If we were playing like we played for the troops for the 4th of July and we're like, well, we got to play some topic,
like,
you know,
some country.
Things like that, we kind of will adapt or add a cover that we just are all about putting on a good show. So if we're like
flexible.
The fans
we're flexible
like
group,
this,
you know?
We're going to do it.
Yeah. Dude, Drake?
I know. Now we don't tell people we covered Drake. Okay? Oh, it was a long time ago.
It was like 2016, and it was part
it was
of the medley.
Really cool then.
Like, this is the thing I was talking about all the influences that we all have. This is why we can't pick a cover song either. That's so we do three or four in one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I don't even remember us covering Drake.
Drake was probably Dave's idea, dude.
It was part of that. Like we did like that last Christmas, George Michael.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now, whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Yeah.
Medley, and Josh took like a Drake verse.
Yeah. Everybody took a different verse.
I just Beyonce.
Beyonce, like,
oh, that's cool.
Colin did
he did Lemonade. Like, Colin did Fetty Wap or something. Oh, it was like very random.
Going off.
Yeah.
Dude, that would go crazy now. Yeah. Wait, so is there any like legal issues with that? Can you sing any song you want, or do you have to get it approved?
I mean,
or?
I think live you can do that. Yeah. We just
you can do anything can do live.
We can sell the live recording or anything.
Makes sense. Okay.
Okay.
I think if you're in a really professional band, like with like Taylor Swift or something, if she's doing like a cover, like she has to like report her set list and be like, I'm covering the song. And I think the artist will make royalties off of that.
If she did a SZA song for 40,000 people in an arena, SZA would get a little kickback, I think.
Yeah.
If it made the Disney doc or whatever, you know.
Right. We don't know.
But we got away with it. We didn't pay shit for our covers.
When our son grows up to be a business lawyer, we'll have more
answers permission
for you.
That's true. He might have to shut that down.
The trumpet playing business lawyer.
Yeah.
That's so cool, though.
So have you guys ever given another band a song? Because you guys write so many that you can't even, you know, use them all for the Mowglis. Or maybe you feel like one isn't the Mowglis vibe. Do you ever just give them out? Like, hey, here's a song that would work for you guys.
If there's any artists out there that want a song, call the Mowglis team. There's definitely been writing for other artists. It's like such a huge, it's like a really huge honor and a huge deal when another artist wants to cut a song. Like Josh has written with a bunch of different artists and they kind of go into the session. And sometimes it's like, is this for the Mowglis or is this for your project? No. And sometimes they don't know until the song's over. And then it is very clearly for this person or that person. And anytime the other artist like wants the song, I feel like it's just like, yeah, that is so cool. It's just such a cool feeling that somebody would want to cut something you worked on.
Yeah. I always like focused mostly on writing Mowgli songs. Cause why not? Because the band was just going all the time and we always needed songs. But I always wanted to work with other artists like more than I probably have, I think. But I have a little,
Yeah. How much would a song go for these days if you were to sell
it? I think
it
just
to
depends
me?
On how it really much depends it, on how successful the song is.
The person, I think.
If you get a cut, they release the song, and then if the song does well, then you get your royalties, you get like whatever your cut
unless,
of that song.
Like,
but you're not really getting money up front usually unless it's like some
unless
crazy
you
major
like
artist.
Commissioning Taylor Swift to write you a song, in which case Taylor probably gets
that'd
a cut.
Probably
or something.
Be really expensive.
Probably be really expensive, you know. In our world, it's like the song has to be successful for the song to make money.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, if Taylor sold me a song, I could probably just read it
and
make money.
Yeah.
I'll just tell people that Taylor wrote it.
At that point, I think that she's making money because we're saying her name online right now.
Probably is. Jeff's going to make this blow up more, yeah.
Yeah, facts. That's so crazy, man.
Do you guys use AI at all for songwriting or any of your process?
No, and we hope that that's not for us. Like, AI songwriting is coming for our gigs, so we're like, it's probably not great for us. Because if somebody could be like, write a Mowgli's song about love, a Northern California city, and do something that responded as well as our music, that would be really scary. And that'll probably happen one day, which is why I'm hoping that like live music is this organic, tangible thing that, you know, that people don't want to see, like, what is it called? Like a
hologram.
Like a hologram. Right. Hopefully people don't want to see hologram AI concerts. They want to see like real life people playing instruments.
Hopefully. Yeah, I just had ChatGPT write a Mowgli style song about love.
It's probably pretty fucking close, I'm gonna be honest.
Do you guys want to hear it?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to sing it.
It's okay.
On a Tuesday, caught me off guard. Didn't see it coming, now you're in my heart. Coffee in the morning, singing in the car. Every little moment feels like who we are. I don't really know what that means.
I honestly don't think that sounds like something we would write. So ChatGPT kind of blew it for me there. Your singing was fucking gorgeous, but the lyrics just...
Yeah, I decided to go a little bit more Drake style with that.
Right. Not I think it was the melody choice. I could see the lyrics adapting to a Mowgli
song. And like the chorus, I'm all in, I'm diving deep, like a wave crashing over me. I could totally see that in a song.
So how much are you selling us this song for? I'll pay $20 for it.
Dude...
Sold.
Take it. Josh was writing it over here. We're stopping this. We can't condone this.
Yeah, I'm just playing. It's not good. Yeah. It doesn't compare to your.
No, to answer for me personally, I just use the trusty old like get an idea and I pick up the guitar and I throw it in like the voice memos app on my phone, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I take that idea into a session and hopefully like there's no AI being used in that process. But if there is, that's fine.
We do go to rhymezone.com.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We use
Rhymewave. Rhymewave is in now.
Rhymewave is in.
Any kind of rhyming website, you know, because you'd be surprised how silly of a word you're going to throw in there. Like, mm-hmm. Like some like say, and you're like, yeah, there's like a million rhymes to that, obviously, but like seeing them all in a list is pretty weird.
Yeah
it's cool. I mean, you'll see a word you would have never thought of, and it'll steer you in a cool direction maybe. And
sometimes you just need that thing. Mm-hmm.
Also, sometimes you think of a great rhyme on your own without going to the old wave.
Yeah, that's probably the best feeling.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I feel like you can rhyme almost any word, just depending on how you say it, you know?
Yeah.
Poetic license.
Mm.
Yeah.
Off rhyme, baby.
We had a song, Andy and I have a band called Modern Original. We have a song called I'm an Alien, and there's a I'm an Alien rhymes with, or wait, no. I'm an Alien from the Great Beyond, and somehow that works in the song. It's better than I made
a which was also a funny one because that song started off as a text message. He just sent a text saying, I'm an alien. I was like, that's the lyric of the song. And we just jumped off
you're
of
like,
that.
That's the song. I was like, you're right. Dude. That is the song.
Can't imagine what type of drugs you were doing when you sent that.
All of that.
I was late that day.
Nah, man. It was the pandemic, so probably like a lot of coffee and Xanax. Yeah. I don't know.
I wish I couldn't get any. My doctor.
There were no drugs on. There was no drugs involved in that.
Just good old natty, bro. Fashion text.
We gotta add that to genius lyrics for where that came from.
Yeah, dude. I had a lyric that I wanted to ask you guys about.
It was from 4 a.m.
Okay.
Yeah, from the song 4 a.m. Which were you guys? You guys wrote that, correct? You guys.
You were at the session for that song.
Is that Colin and Alex Arias, I think, actually?
That's
bridge lyrics.
That was like
a
song.
Oh, Alex Arias wrote that.
In where, Nashville?
Yeah. So funny. Arias was in that. He was a co-writer on that.
Yeah. So our dude, Colin, one of our old members, went to Nashville once like a handful of days just to do some writing sessions.
One of our producers, Alex Arias.
Yeah.
And then when he brought it to us...
And he got like a handful of like three or four great songs that we cut and released.
And then when they came back, we rewrote some of the parts.
So wait, what was the question?
Well, I was just going to dive into some of the lyrics, but
let's hear it.
Well, I was just going to... This lyric, I was just trying to get a vision for. So we need a hero. She was a 10, he was a 0. Uh-huh. So like... Who's a zero? Like, are we?
Oh, like some chick's ugly? Boyfriend. Some chick who's got a boyfriend that like she's too good for.
Okay.
So it's like the singer is like, "Yo, your boyfriend sucks."
Oh dang! Okay, was that Colin that said that?
Damn, dude.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. The answer is yes.
That's what it's about. She was a 10. He was a 0. This hot chick had this lame-o boyfriend with her. And so, like, screw your boyfriend.
He's going to swoop in, like, De Niro.
In the bathroom.
And then, yeah.
Wow.
What's the next lyric? I can't remember.
The next lyric is, I had to steal her like De Niro.
See, I'm telling you, he had to steal the chick because her boyfriend was a zero. He was a loser. He wasn't appreciating her.
Dude, to be a zero, dude, you gotta.
That's harsh. Well, you know, treat a girl right, okay?
Dude, we go hard. We
treat a girl right.
Back.
I don't think of any. I don't think I've heard of anybody rating somebody a zero. Because it's like, well, if you're alive, you're at least.
I know some zeros.
It's a clear exaggeration, I think, because no one's.
Yeah, I think personality.
Like, you're at least a one.
If you're mean, I might think you're a zero. Okay.
Do you think you can
handle it? An amazing woman, and a man is not treating you like you're an amazing woman, I might consider you a zero. Just say.
I think
that. But the character in the song, yeah, is swooping in to steal your girl. So look out.
Yeah.
It's all interesting. Oh,
hide your kids.
Hide your wife. Hide your kids. Because it's 4 a.m. up in this beat.
Holy smokes, dude.
Any other song questions?
Yeah, I like them.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Dang, man. Yeah, I feel like we that was deep.
Yeah.
What's one that U4 really wrote or created?
I mean, there's so, like, for the four of us together, favorite. There's all different combos of writers, right? So, like, if you name any song, we'd be like, oh, that was Matt and Andy that day, or that was Josh and Colin and like Dave. Like, there's all these different combos. One song I could say that's been really cool is one of our early songs we wrote called Hi, Hey There, Hello, which, like, was chosen as a placeholder for a theme song on a Disney cartoon, and they liked it so much but couldn't use it, so they asked us to basically rip off our own song. So we all got to sit there and come up with different ways to rip that song off. And that was really fun. And we got to write a theme song for a show. And that was just based off of us, like, kind of imitating our own work from our earlier catalog. And that was just, like, a really fun experience. So that's the theme song for Big City Greens.
Big City Greens. So blended Big City Greens. Are there any other, like, movie, TV show type work you've done?
Yeah, actually, San Francisco in 2023 was added to the Guardians of the Galaxy 3 playlist.
Oh, shoot.
I think Say It got a Coca-Cola commercial at some point. We've had a few different commercials. We did Earth to Echo.
Earth to Echo. And they just, like, asked us to
write an
original. We did a screening of the movie, and they asked us to write an original song for this one scene.
They were using Great Divide as a placeholder. True. And so they kind of asked us to emulate that feeling and make an original song for that film. Those experiences have all been really awesome. Anytime there's a pitch for TV or film, we're, like, all so excited and honored to just, like, put our name in the hat and try, because it's always, like, a really fun writing prompt also. Yeah. We'll get certain parameters, like, the show's about this and it should be this long and we want it to feel like XYZ and here's a couple words. And so you have just a couple of little things to jump off of, and you get to be creative and try to create a vibe that fits what this show or film is. So that's always a really fun project. We've been super lucky to have a few of those under our belt, and we're hoping, you know, that the future brings more of those opportunities as well.
Wow.
That's so awesome. Cool. Really, the Guardians of the Galaxy, man.
I know. I didn't know about that. That's really cool.
Epic soundtracks. So that was, like, a crazy honor, because James Gunn actually, like, handpicks the music himself for the soundtracks, and he picked San Francisco. He liked the song and he put it on the soundtrack. So, you know, that in itself, just knowing that somebody liked the song enough, especially those movies, they're kind of like great. Really revolve around the
they're
soundtrack.
Known for the music. Like people listen to, they look up Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack just to
and
listen
all
to
all the artists on, you know, there's three movies, we're on the third one, but the all of the artists on the soundtracks, the whole span of the three movies, they're amazing. So being just in that, being in the Marvel universe is insane, and just being in that collection of artists, like there's mega major artists that have been huge our entire lives on those soundtracks, and then also the Mowglis. So it's really amazing.
That's so cool.
That's so cool, dude. So yeah, so like what you go ahead. Oh, what were you gonna say?
Oh, I was just gonna say I'm still so hyped that you guys are coming back and making some more music. I'm excited for that.
We'll have to send it to you. Maybe we can send it to you for a little sneak peek or something fun.
That would be awesome.
Dude. Talk to the team about it.
Okay. Dude, let's go, man. I was gonna ask, like I'm excited you guys are making new music. I was just gonna ask, like, what are some other goals you guys have? Like that could be, you know, tour stuff or maybe some more movie projects, or what are some other goals you guys got right now?
I'd love to see us play some more festivals. That's always been one of my favorite things, because you reach so many people at once. Instead of hitting one city, just hitting like the however many people can make it out, you go to a festival and like all your fans from that region are able to make it, and it's just so, it's always so much fun, and you get to discover so many new bands when you're at a festival yourself as a music fan. What about you?
I think our music is like perfect for festivals, and I actually genuinely have gone into most writing sessions thinking like, I have like, would this song be great at a festival? And like, you know, it's like a guideline or something.
That's cool.
Yeah, so we aren't probably gonna immediately start touring, not probably, but we definitely are not gonna start touring like we were in the past, at that same capacity, you know, not right away. We're hoping to just maybe book a few shows here and there, and maybe we'll, we've talked about doing like regional things, like going to the East Coast, playing a few shows over just like, you know, a few days and coming back and doing things like that rather than touring like for 6 weeks straight. It's all just kind of changing. And I think above all that, I'm just really happy that we're releasing music again, because at the core, you know, our band is like all about community and writing uplifting music for the world, and like sharing our stories of like growth and love and change and all that. It's just really awesome. Even if we didn't play one show ever again, it's like just being able to release music and like affect someone in a positive way, it means the world to us.
I like what you said also about like, we were going so hard for so long, and then we all took a little bit of time and we lived a lot of life, and we each, I think collectively, everybody has had a journey and has learned a lot of lessons. And now to be able to put some of that life experience into our new music is really cool, because at some point you need to refill your cup of inspiration. You need more stuff to draw from, and you can't just keep writing about being on tour and being in the studio. So over the last few years, I think we've all gotten to like live. And it's like we have this whole new body of inspiration to pull from that we didn't have before.
Yeah. Seeing the world through a toddler's eyes is pretty amazing.
Yeah. I bet. Yeah. Probably bring some new song ideas for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. So Josh, you mentioned that sometimes you'll think about like how a song would sound at like a festival and stuff. Yep. Are there any songs that you guys all have like just been surprised with how it's been heard by your listeners? Like anything that's really popped off that you were like, I don't really think that one's going to be like at the top, or like, I don't know. Are there any songs that surprise you?
I'm good is a bit like that for us. I mean, I knew that it was going to be a great thing for us, and it was going to really resonate with our fan base. But not necessarily just in the way that it did.
We basically thought we were done with our second album, and then I'm Good kind of came out of left field. It was a surprise. It was a session that we we're like, okay, I guess we'll go to this. And we ended up with that song, and we didn't, we just kind of thought, oh, we'll go to that session and do that song. And then our team was like, we want to put it out. It's going on the record. And we thought we were done with our record. We thought we knew what song was going to be our next single. And all of a sudden it was like, no, this is going on the record. And I'm Good as the next song you're putting out. Mm-hmm. And we were like, oh, that doesn't, we thought we, okay, I guess. And it was happening before we knew it. And so I think that playing it live and seeing the fans' reaction to that song, like, changed my relationship with that song. Because I at first was like, oh, this was just a song we wrote in this, that weird session one day. And yeah. I didn't think we were doing anything with it. And now it's hard to imagine playing a Mowgli show without that song and seeing, it feels like it's almost like the culmination of everything from the set. Like, we play all our songs and then we end with the message mm-hmm. of I'm good. And it's hard to even imagine.
Yeah.
The Mowgli's catalog the without it
of our live show, actually.
Yeah,
it's cool.
It's such a good song. I listened to it in the shower last night. Fun fact.
Oh, rad. The
song is a banger.
That's so cool.
It's a good shower music because it really makes me feel confident.
And we did like a proper class.
Yeah,
we did a proper music video as well.
Yeah,
you know, went to the desert with like a real film crew, and it was, you know, like the last taste of that like major label world maybe that we had. But the video is cool, and the song's cool, Lobster. And another song for me though was I Feel Good About This, like, went really hard on the streams. It's maybe our third highest streamed song. That one's like fun, and you know, it was just like four friends in a room writing a fun, uplifting Mowgli song. It was just like, we understood the assignment, you know?
Yeah. I like how the song name's like simple too. Like, when everybody, when somebody asks like how you're doing, everybody just says I'm good. Right.
But it's
like,
oh my gosh.
They just say it. But then the song though, if you listen to it, it's like, you're good. You know, it's actually funny. Are.
Sometimes we ask people, you know, we would do this thing where we would ask everybody to kind of like, leave whatever bullshit they carried in, like, leave it at the venue and like let it go in that moment. And we would say like, I want everybody to say I'm good, and like people would have a hard time saying it. Like, people would be like resistant. They'd be like, I'm good, and then we'd be like, no, say I'm good, and they'd be like, cool. I'm good, and then we'd be like, say I'm good, and they'd be like, I'm good. And it was like this crazy emotional release, and it was like,
yeah,
you know, you need to say positive things to yourself, right? Like, affirmations, they're a thing for a reason. Mm-hmm. Words have power. And I think seeing what those words did to people, seeing what happened when a room full of people said I'm good out loud to themselves, it was just like, it was magic. It was really powerful, and it would change the energy of the room. And I really believe that it made people leave feeling better than when they came. And that was always the goal of the live show. And I think that song was like the peak moment where people really were like, okay, I'm leaving in a better place than I was in when I got to this venue tonight. And I think that was really, that's what makes that song really special.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Thank you. Well, we don't want to take too much of your guys' time tonight, but we really appreciate you guys for joining. Maybe like one more question, if that's cool with everyone.
Yeah, I just want to preface before you say that question that it feels so awesome for us that we are entering this new phase of putting out music after being dormant for so long. And you guys wanted to take your time out to talk to us about what we're doing, and it feels really good, and I just can't thank you guys enough for taking your time out of the day to help us and to help promote us and just give us a platform to talk on. So thank you guys.
Of course.
Oh, thanks for saying that. Yeah, it means a lot. Oliver, do you have a question, Mike? Because I also have one in mind.
Hi. Well, maybe I do too. I was just gonna ask for like, I just had a fun fact and also a question. So there are 3,642 new musical artists a day, brand new ones every single day, trying to make it in the industry. What is advice from each one of you that you would give to them in order to stand out in the crowd? So whoever wants to go first.
Sure. Yeah. Mine would probably be more about like like for the live side of things, of like never stop pushing yourself as hard as possible to play as many shows as possible and like go as hard as you can to put your music in front of people. That's the most important thing I would say.
That's good.
There might be a million, billion people on Spotify, but they're not all at that venue Matt's talking about.
And they're not all you. I think it's like my first thing is just be yourself. Don't try to chase anything. That's the first and foremost thing. And then work hard, you know, do all the stuff Matt said.
I think to piggyback off of what Matt said, I think it's just always like stay yes. Like follow the doors that open for you. If you like it, it, I think for all of us, it got us to this crazy point where we are. And if we said no to things, it just, we wouldn't be here. So just follow the path and, you know, be like, you're going to play empty rooms. You're going to have people not listen to every song, but just keep going and have a good attitude and try. And I mean, at a point say no, but you know, the greater yes is, yeah. I think is really important to kind of keep you guided.
Definitely. I think don't be afraid to fail. Also, you know, like Andy said, you're going to play to empty rooms. You can only fail if you put yourself out there, if you try. If you're not doing anything, then there's no failure. So failure is in itself a little bit of success, right? Like you did it. So don't be afraid to fail, because failure means you're out there and you're doing it. And like Josh said, like, nobody else sees the world through your eyes. Nobody else is you at this moment with your parents who grew up in your town. Like your perspective is unique and nobody can emulate that. And nobody can copy the essence of what makes you you. So if you stay true to yourself, if you don't chase things, and if you work hard, you know, it's like somebody once told me there's, if you have two of these three things, you're in a pretty good place. There's luck, talent, and hard work. And you can have any two of those to succeed, but you've got to have at least two of them. So you've either got to be really lucky and hardworking, or really lucky and really talented, or really talented and hardworking, but you've got to really put yourself out there. So I think hard work is one that you can make sure that you've at least got that one on the list for sure.
That's great.
Great advice, guys.
Yeah.
So you guys got to meet Bill Nye, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A few times,
yeah.
Really? Okay. So what's Bill Nye like? And are there any future collabs?
So crazy. The craziest party you've ever met. Like, drinks like a fish, every drug in the book, like rages, always got girls.
Does he smell like a science experiment?
He's like such a seriously like underestimated guy. No, he's really cool. I mean, he's definitely cool.
Super professional. He was really, really sweet to us. We did he was like in a music video for us that like never came out. I think.
Wow.
Oh, that's
yeah, never saw it. Long
from the movie, dang. Per se. It just
yeah.
And he was like a DJ at a rooftop party in downtown LA in this music video scene. And it was awesome. And like that was the day we met him.
We went out for drinks with him in San Fran.
Yeah. And he was like,
remembered
us and stuff. And he, you know, was just, that's
so down.
That's the thing I remembered about him was like, he was just super professional.
Yeah. Down to earth.
He hung out.
Super nice guy. Such a legend, obviously, especially like, again, you guys are young, but for us, when you woke up like before 6 a.m. when you were a kid, if you turned on the TV, Bill Nye was on. Like before the cartoons kicked on, it was Bill Nye. I've always been an early riser, so I caught Bill Nye on TV all the time. So, you know, you grow up with this kind of like legend on your TV, and then you meet him and he's just super cool, like such a real, normal, cool dude. Really good.
Yeah, and I think the only footage of that Bill Nye thing that we did with him, if you use like, I think the platform is Giphy or whatever, and you search for Bill Nye, there is a GIF in there of Bill Nye as a DJ. That's from our music video that never aired anywhere.
So,
and awesome. I found it the other day because I was searching for Bill Nye.
Wow.
And hopefully it's still there. I'll see if I can find it too.
Yeah, I'm looking for it right now.
That's so cool, dude.
Yeah, send that to our group chat. Jesus.
I will. I'll find it.
Definitely.
That's so funny. We got to put that up on the screen, Oliver, for like a reel or something. Like,
yeah,
find it.
Yeah, we'll find it.
Dude, yeah, we grew up, like, I mean, in class, he used to play Bill Nye all the time. So it's like, he's a legend.
I'm going to start playing that for our toddler soon.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to.
It's educational for sure. Yeah.
Amazon or somewhere.
Do you ever wake Julian up with all the music?
We have a neighbor behind us who drums, and it sounds like he just like opens the windows and just rocks for like a good hour.
And he's done that during nap time.
And one time, I think only once that I remember, he woke up Julian, and it wasn't even really that big a deal.
We have a soundproof, our garage has been like soundproofed, and that's where we play music. So we're able to kind of keep it from Julian. Although like we're talking really loud right now and he's out cold. So
yeah, he's sleeping. Yeah.
Yeah. Kids can sleep, dude. Mm-hmm. It's
crazy. We try not to wake him up like ever. So
yeah. Yeah. I got a little nephew that, my sister, he's like about a year old, and like, he's taking like one nap a day now, but during that nap, he's like, he's out.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
it's fine. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
can't Oliver, wake them up. They're scary if you wake them up. They have to wake up on their own.
Yeah,
if you wake them up, it's like very scary.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Right. Well, we can wrap this up then, if that's cool with everyone.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, everyone, for coming on. Andy, Matt, Katie, Josh, and we're missing Dave, right? But he's still a part of it.
Dave's around somewhere. Let's call him the mysterious Mowgli. He's like a slippery fish. You're lucky if you can catch Dave. If you guys can ever get Dave on this podcast, do it, because it is slippery fish, but good conversation.
Okay. Maybe we'll get
him. No, he won't say much.
Awesome. Well, April, right? New music coming in April.
April 26th, I think.
We're just finishing it up. We're just dusting it off and getting it all together.
Glitter on it.
We're so excited.
Awesome.
We're excited too. Let's go. Sweet.
That's a wrap on this episode. Huge thank you to the Mowglis for coming on and sharing their story. Shout out to their manager, Anthony, for making it all happen. We're hyped for their upcoming music and can't wait to listen when it drops. Make sure you go drop them a follow on Instagram at The Mowglis and check them out on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you listen to your music. You won't want to miss it.
Hey guys, welcome back. Tech Guy here. We have a brand new merch hot drop for you guys. To find the link, all you have to do is go to our Instagram bio or type in www.thisdudestartedsomething.com and click on the merch button. See you there, boys. You make me feel like I've been waiting
my whole life. Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.